Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Scruffy Fern back again. Today I have a special guest, Will Stay With Me, who you might remember from previous episodes of the Scruffy Fern show that we would do. He's back again today to talk about some really cool stuff.
More Azure things.
More Azure,
Node.js stuff, too.
I think every time we bring you in, you're talking about Azure, which is pretty cool. So today you're going to show off a Ghost Replay system. So if you don't know what Ghost Replay is, basically it's a system that allows you to view your previously played game. One I like to think of is Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy, a really cool thing in that,
Forza has another really good example of that, where you can see the car driving on the track. You can kind of race against yourself. So we thought, you know, that's a pretty cool system. A lot of games use that, and it's something that Azure can do really well in the back end. So we thought, let's put this together, right?
Yeah, why not?
So Will's going to walk us through the system that he built and let us know how to do it.
Awesome. All right, well, so we're just going to go through what Ghost Replay is, why we're using Azure, because why? That's why we're here, right? how to set it up, and then just how to actually make it work, right? Ghost Replay, like Mickey was saying, is it's a system where you can watch your gameplay again. Typically, in games, they do it so it's either comic effect, like Super Meat Boy. It would show each of your deaths, and you just laugh and laugh and laugh and go, wow, I suck at this game. Or they use in racing games where you race the track once and then you see a ghost, hence Ghost Replay.
Yeah, your best lap time.
Your best lap time or whatever, and then you have to literally beat yourself, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, it reminds me of the old days of VHS, but I don't know if anybody will remember that. So
I remember
DVRs,
VHS.
Right? It's like your DVR game and then can replay it again, right?
Yeah,
so
Prince Persia also did it, too.
Yes.
Anyway.
Lots of games that do
lots it. Lots of games do it in a bunch of different ways. So there's some pros and cons for doing it. Pros, it's really not that hard to set up.
Nope.
Adds a completely new game mode without making any more new art or new code. There's not much to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a lot of fun. And, this is going to sound horrible, it kind of tricks the player into... seeing something new, trick might not be the right word, but it's, giving them something new.
It has a layer of depth to it that, perceived depth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Even though it might not have taken you much to do there, it makes, it has that polish, that effect, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, there's always pros and there's always some cons.
Oh, there's got to be a downside.
There's got to be a downside. Because you have to store data, like where you are, what's going on, where enemies are, that's a lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a lot of room on your device or your computer or whatever, your platform, that can just destroy the game. Especially, and sometimes it's slow reading and writing anyway, right? And also managing all that stuff can be really messy because then you have to write a whole system just to hold on to that code, not code files and all that. Sometimes it's there, sometimes
so you can,
it's
you
not.
Have to be careful because this can get out of hand pretty quick and you can start having large amounts of data being passed to, over the network, which can cost people money on their mobile devices and stuff like that.
Yep.
So there are issues there.
There are issues there, And that's with, your normal kind
but those
of
things
setup,
can
right?
be mitigated.
Yes.
Right? If you can think about it, there's certain ways that you can kind of minimize the amount of data that you're pushing.
Yeah.
There's compression algorithms out there that we can use, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can use Azure. Because Azure's cloud, right?
Yeah.
So you can just shove it all to the cloud. Then it's not on the device or the computer or whatever it
is. You're not storing it on the hard drive, right?
Yeah.
So you could have thousands of replays and not actually be filling up this person's hard drive.
Exactly. It's on,
just storing it in the cloud.
Exactly. And Microsoft's nice, shiny, magical little servers that they have somewhere. But why Azure? I'm going to let you, because a little bit more.
Yeah.
I know some, but I mean,
We talked about this, and the major reasons you want to use Azure is you have large amounts of storage right off the hop, right?
Yeah.
So you have this ability to have all that space without the overhead of having to go out and purchase it.
Yeah.
Think about if you wanted to have, say 10 terabytes of space.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that on-prem, on-premise, like in your studio or in your basement of your house, whatever it might be, that's going to cost a lot of money. And there's a lot of overhead, Like you have to maintain those servers. You got the electricity to worry about, right? And, if you have, extension cords running to your neighbor's house, they're going to get a little kind of curious.
Yeah.
So, there's things to worry about there, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another thing is scalability.
Yeah.
So I have 10 terabytes and suddenly, that's not enough. I have so many more users coming in. I need 30 terabytes.
Yeah.
I've got to drive down to the local store and buy all the drives and put everything together. That's a lot of work.
And then you go, oh, crap. My case only holds four. okay, I need a new case, and it just balloons.
And it just keeps growing, right? Yeah. So scalability is a really nice thing about Azure is, you know, if you need more space, it's there. If you need more processing power, it's there. And most of it's automated.
Yeah.
You don't even need to, it's not like you need to be sitting there with like a little dial and being like, oh, turn it up, right? No, it's not like that. It actually scales as you need it.
Exactly.
Easily accessible, right?
Works. And really easy setup, too.
Yeah, easy to set up. You know, we have the ability with all these libraries for multiple different platforms in multiple languages, so it doesn't really matter if you're writing in Perl or Python or
Ruby. I think I saw Ruby too.
There's Ruby up there. Like,
there's lots.
Yeah, and if there's not something that's supported directly from Microsoft, I'm sure there's a third party out there that has some workaround for it. So, like, you know, I've been surprised at the languages and platforms that support Azure right out of the box. So that's a really big one there. Again, then you have the difference in the storage, right?
Yeah.
We talked a little about this in the previous ones. You have the ability to have blob storage. And are you using blob storage in this one?
Yes, in this we're using blob storage. For those that don't know, because I didn't know for the first week when I was reading about this, blob is binary large object, which just means data, a file.
We love our acronyms.
We love our acronyms. Why not, right? But yeah, and with Azure, actually. Let me go to the next. Nope. We'll go back. Anyway, but no, with blob storage and all that, you can store it in a couple different ways. You got block blobs, you got page blobs. Block blobs are very simple. You kind of just put the data there. They're there. They're not really ordered or anything.
And less structure.
Less structure, yeah. They're not as structured, and they're easy to, you know, grab and go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Page is more if you want some more structure. You want to be able to edit it or get in a certain way.
If the order is important and stuff like that, right?
If it's
sequence data that needs to come back in a specific way, same way that it was pushed up, then you don't want to use a block. You want to use a page, right? Yeah. So that's a good explanation and why you're using a blob. So out of curiosity, why blob over something, say, SQL?
Honestly, simplicity. Now, yes, SQL is simple to use, but when I was looking into it with all this, like we were talking with the libraries, there's a lot of really easy libraries with Azure and all that, and then you don't have to worry about a database.
And you got speed issues too, right?
Yes, you also have speed and all that,
yeah.
Because, you know, this is all scalable, it's all managed.
And you're pulling this data down, you want to be able to play, maybe even replay it off live on the fly, so you want to make sure that you have
something that's quick and fast.
That makes sense. Well, it's a good reason to use Azure for sure. Like, it kind of fits the bill when you go down your checklist. So
Makes sense. All right. So, like we already said, plan is we're going to use Azure Blob Storage to store game data for a Ghost Replay system. All right, we're going to do that by, again, kind of like what we did last time, we're going to set up an Azure web app, okay? We're going to have a Node.js server on it.
And he's referring to a previous
video.
Yeah, previous video, Scruffy, Game Dev with Scruffy Fern. We did one where we showed how to build a simple multiplayer backend using Node.js and web apps.
Yeah.
So that's what he's referring to if you want to do a quick Bing search on that.
I was going to say, for those who have not seen that, my apologies. But so we're going to run a Node.js server right on an Azure website. And then from there, we're going to, from our game, whether it's on a device or from another Azure website, we're going to just call that backend server, and we're going to basically that will then talk to Azure, and we'll get our data, and that's the big old circle of fun.
So we're basically going to be using Node.js to do all of the lifting, the connecting, and all that stuff, so we don't have to write our own system on the backend, right?
Yes.
So that's pretty good. And we're using JavaScript, which is a very fluid language and works on a variety of platforms.
Very cool. Absolutely.
Now,
as always, there's some prerequisites. Luckily, these are not...
They seem pretty light.
They're pretty light. You need Azure. Now, how you get Azure, you can get, the 1 month free trial. You can do a pay-as-you-go kind of plan.
Yeah.
You can go talk to Microsoft and do a BizSpark account.
Yeah, if you're a studio or a startup and you've been in existence for less than 5 years or making less than $1 million, reach out to us or check out the BizSpark website for more information.
Yeah.
Because you get Azure credits as well as you get free software, all the fun stuff, Visual Studio
and all that.
So very, 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 very useful for startups.
For startups. Now, next thing you need a text editor. Now, realistically, you could just open up Notepad and do that. If you're a really, really hardcore developer, you can do that.
Firing up the Vim.
Exactly. Or you can use Notepad++, or what I've been using is actually Visual Studio Code, which is
amazing,
really, really
isn't it?
I really, really like it.
I'm not just saying that because I've been blown away by how amazing that editor is.
I started using it, I'm like, this this is amazing.
It's clean, it's simple, it's intuitive. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
And then also you'll need an FTP client of some kind. I use FileZilla. Mm-hmm. And that's just to get things onto
to move it up to the
website. That's, you know, there's other ones out
there's
there.
Hundreds
there's
hundreds of
them. There's tons of them. So, okay. So, first things first, you know, we got to set this stuff up. So, yeah, like I said, you got to do your Azure stuff. You can go check it out. After that, you need two things at minimum. You need to set up an Azure web app, and you need to set up an Azure storage account. Storage account is important because you need somewhere to store all the data, and that's how Azure sets it up. You make an account, and it stores all the data. We'll get into how that works shortly. The other is just a website for the server, mm-hmm. right? So first things first for the storage account. It's very easy to set up. You go to the Azure portal, which I believe is portal.azure.com or azure.portal.com. I always mix it up.
You can find it pretty easily. Yeah, it's up at the top there. You click portal. Yeah.
Now, so once you're there, now with that, that's the new shiny one, as you can
see.
Yeah,
I was going to say you're showing off the newer portal.
And I chose that one because I was finding when I was reading about this, a lot of the tutorials I was finding, specifically with what we were doing with Node.js and all that, we're using the newer ones, mm-hmm. so I thought, you know what?
Let's be
nice to people, yeah. right? So anyway, you go there and you hit select. You go, just go in. You hit data storage, and then you click storage. Okay, you fill in your account name. Make sure it's one that someone doesn't have. Most of the other things you can leave. The one thing you want to look at is location. Now, us, we're in the eastern part of North America, so I set mine up for eastern U.S. But, you know, if you're on the West Coast, you might want West U.S. If you're elsewhere, right?
Yeah, pick the ones closest to you for prototyping or and stuff like that. But when you go to something where you're releasing it, you might want to take a look at having a storage account in different places and then just making sure that you check the local or the locale of the person on there and then push it to that one.
Exactly, and that's it's
numerous
really easy
ways
to do
that. Yeah.
Really easy. You hit create. You give that a few seconds, maybe a minute. Depends.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time.
It can take a little bit, right? So once that's done, next part is you go make your web app. Okay. Again, same screen. You actually don't really have to leave. You don't have to do anything. You just click on web and mobile. You click on web app, and then you hit create. Same thing. You make sure the name is right. Yeah, make sure, you know, if you want to change anything, you can. If you want to set up for your different subscription, let's say you have a couple, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Again, location, and again, you know, user, you...
Depending on where you are, right?
So then once you have your website and your storage account up, after that, your next steps are setting up, well, specifically with the website, how you want to deploy it. They've added a very, very cool thing, and this wasn't present when we did our first video. Mm-hmm. Now, it's actually set up through Azure. You can deploy it from a GitHub account, a local It's great, a local Git repository. You can do it Visual Studios Online, Dropbox, and there's one or two other ones I'd never heard of.
Yeah, there's more. Yeah, there's and numerous ways to get deployed. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just go down, you hit deploy. It's very easy.
What I love about the GitHub aspect is I can do pushes and changes, and they automatically update.
Updates, and then you can go on to the website, and you can just roll back whenever. You don't have to go to GitHub. You don't have to do anything. So you could, you know, let's say you were managing, you know, the program, right? You could do that, never touch the code. You could have your developer do it all, and then you can go, you know what, this didn't work. I don't like this build, and change it, roll it back.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And you can do that same from the local one. Visual Studio Online, same functionality there. Yeah. A little bit more flexibility. Has, like, you know, management for time, for time management,
and people management, team stuff foundation, like that. All that. It's great.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
Yeah. All right, so.
So we got a demo.
We got a demo. Just very simple, setting up the storage account, okay? Nothing horribly fancy on that. Woohoo! So you want to set up your... so you navigate portal.azure.com, you click new like we were saying, you go down to data and storage, right? Go over, you hit storage account. Okay. Then give it a minute to load, and we're going to call it Azure Test or something.
You want to make sure, whatever you name it, it's something that, one, is not owned by anybody else, because this is your own. Yeah. And two, the naming conventions kind of match up to what you're doing, right? You don't want it to be completely out there, you know, like Azure Work One or something.
You don't want to be nonsensical. Right?
Yeah.
And so, like I said, just because of where we are, I'll just do East U.S. Hit that, and it, you know, sets it up and puts it on your dashboard.
Yeah, it shows you up there. Yeah,
it's really nice. The older one didn't have this dashboard. So, yeah. You know, this just makes it easier so you can just click on it. You can see I have a couple of different...
Yeah, I do the same thing. I pin all the ones that I'm working on to the dashboard and just click it. It's an easy way to find what you're working on.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the new portal.
Oh, yeah, no, it's really nice and shiny. So, actually, while that has it, I'm going to do the cook turkey kind of thing. I'm actually just going to set up the web app. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to create it like we just discussed.
Yeah.
Just because
the steps that we just showed in the slides we're doing here again.
Yeah. Azure, what was it? Test project, I think. We'll go with that.
Something along those lines.
Demo. Yeah, demo. That's what it was. Demo project and just let the other one do its stuff. Everything else looks okay. Gives us everything we need. So I'll just hit that and still sign up. So we'll give that a second just because there's more to go into. We'll let that set up. Just jump back up. All right. So we set all up our web apps. We set up our storage account. So once that's set up, just basic.
So we have our framework,
it's
right?
Created.
If we use the analogy of a house.
Yes.
We've got the framework up. Yep. Now we need to worry about putting the walls in and putting like the furniture and all that stuff in there now.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So in order to harness the power that is Azure, we actually used a cool little library that's on GitHub. You can go check it out. It's Azure Storage Package. I believe the GitHub is Azure Storage SDK for Node.js or something. It's a long, lengthy one. You can find it. So anyway, we use that. Now, once we have... That's just the back-end stuff.
So that's our library?
That's the library that we're going to be using. Okay.
And so what is that exactly doing for us?
It's... What they did is they set up all the calls to Azure.
Okay.
All the read, the write, all that stuff. It's really nice, really clean.
So we don't have to worry about writing or reads.
Yeah,
or
no, exactly. Okay. Ours is basically just a wrapper. What I'm going to be showing you today is basically a wrapper that I wrote that uses their stuff and applies it in a specific way.
Oh, very cool.
Now, to use this and specifically get the Node.js stuff set up, we do have to do some things on the back end, okay, in the web app, okay? So we need to set up some application settings, environment variables. It's actually what they're called. Now, you can actually do this in the Node.js thing. I chose to do it in the web app. It's easier. It's cleaner. Okay. Those things are basically from our storage account. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a storage account name, just so the web app goes, Node.js call goes, what am I doing? What do I need to know? The web app goes, hey, this is your storage account. Node.js runs off, does it. Or, sorry, specifically the library does it. Okay. You tell it the connection string, which it uses to talk to Azure, and then you also set up the access key, which is just, ginormous,
It's the equivalent of our username and password,
it's a username
so to speak,
and password,
right?
Basically, yeah.
It's our authentication string.
Yes. And after that, you need to set up WebSockets. You just need to hit the little switch that says, WebSockets on.
WebSockets is basically what we're using to pass the data around the network, right? Yeah. It's our... Our protocol.
Protocol, yes. And we'll get, don't worry, we will get.
To, we'll get there.
We'll get to this. And the way you get that is actually you go to your storage account that you just made, and you click on the little key icon, and all this stuff is there.
It's all
nice, it's plain, it's very easy. You can grab it, and it's nice and simple to read and all that.
So from there, we need the access key.
Yep, primary one.
Yeah, we need the
storage account name. And then the primary connection string is what it's called.
Okay.
And then that brings us to actually doing that. But at this point, everything should be set up. Here's our storage account, okay? Now, this stuff can all be saved out however you want. So I'm just going to grab everything from the storage account first, just because it's up. So hit all settings, or you can hit this little key, and you get the storage account name, primary access key, which I'll change after this because everyone now sees it.
Yes.
And you do that, and then you go over to the site. And actually, let me see if I can get both open to make our lives so much easier. And no. All right. Oh, yes. Okay. Just make things a little bit simpler for all of us involved. Okay. You click on that. Yay, it's copied. Okay. Give that a second to load. So from there.
So you just copied your connection key.
Storage account name.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then you just go to all settings, go to application settings, and then you scroll down here. So you got, nope, not that one, this here. Yes. Yeah. There it is. I'm blind. All right. App settings. All right. So first one you want to set up is Azure Storage Account. Okay.
So we're adding a new app setting with the name Azure Storage Account.
Yep.
And then we're going to give it a value
of
our actual name account.
Yeah, which in our case is Azure Demo Project. Okay?
Simple.
Simple enough. So then we run back over and we grab our primary access key. Okay, and that's also copied. And then we're going to add another key. This one's going to be called Azure Storage Access Key. Okay?
Makes sense. Simple name.
Yep, exactly. As long as you remember it, and it's in all caps as well. So yeah, we show that in there. Then finally, we grab our primary connection string. Okay? Run that back over, and that one is Azure Storage Connection String. And you drop that in. And that's actually basically just a combination of the storage account name and the access. It just combines the two. All right, so you do that, and then we scroll up here, and we hit WebSockets, and we put it on. Because
so we're turning on
WebSockets. We're turning it on WebSockets, because that's how we're...
By default, it's turned off, so we want to make sure it's on so we can actually use it.
Exactly. So then you just hit Save. All right? Nice and simple with that. So then, so we have all the back and, you know, all the nitty-gritty.
So so far we've set up our storage account.
Yep.
We set up our web app account.
Yep.
Right? We haven't actually set up the web app itself. But what we've done is we've connected the two together via those variables that we put in place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we want to move on to actually setting up the server.
Setting up the server. Yeah. Okay. So we've, so the web app, just if anyone's lost, is the server.
Yeah.
Okay. From here on in, we'll just call it the server. And
makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep people from wondering what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So next thing is that. So with that, you want to open up your FTP client, whatever it may be, FileZilla.
Yeah, you could use the command line. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. Okay, and you want to log in. Okay, for that, you have to go and grab some stuff from the web app. I'll show that in a moment. The big thing is the host name is unique to your Azure subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And then the username you can change, and the password you can change.
Yeah, and your username is the website slash your username.
Yeah. Yes. And you set that in, and you hit connect. It will give it a second. You know, it has to go talk to everyone. You do all that, okay? And we'll do that now. We're in our web app, right? And we got our FileZilla. So we want FTP hostname, okay?
So this is what we're going to connect to.
This is what we're going to connect to. So this is unique to your account, more or less. And then that will, no matter what, how many websites you make, that will always be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one that's different, and I'm actually going to show how to set this up simply because it's a little weird. So you can change your password and you can change your username if you go in All Saints, I believe it's deployment credentials. It's right here.
Oh, you can change it there.
You can change it right here. Before, it was kind of on the side, and it was a little tricky to see sometimes, right? So you can change your username, you can put in a different password and all that, okay? So you go grab your username, woohoo, which is, in our case, Azure Demo Project, which is named the website slash the username that I've set up. And actually, I'm going to reset my password just so I don't fumble about and go, which one did I use? Haha. Oh, it has to have a number. What is that? A one at the end.
That's
actually,
not secure.
It was a two. And we'll let that save.
Woohoo. Yeah, now we're connected.
Okay, cool. So once you have that connected, you click on site, okay? And you want to go to your www root, okay? That is the root of the project. I mean, it's...
It's the root of your www.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's one of those things, right? It's not...
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's pretty self-explanatory, okay? And then that's... So then from there, we will run over and we will actually grab the code we will need, which I foolishly did not have set up. So, grab our stuff from GitHub, and you want our server-side code, okay? You want to grab our package.json and our server.js. This is the actual code that actually talks to.
So this is our actual server code.
Yeah.
And we want the modules as well?
Yes. Yes, because that's the actual... That covers installation for socket.io, which will be doing the communication and all that.
Okay.
And it will also have our connection to the Azure Storage.
Okay, so where you were... using NuGet packages to do that through the NPM manager, and we're getting the socket I/O.
Yep.
And we're also getting the Azure storage.
Yes.
All right. Okay. But thankfully, you've gone and done those steps for them already.
Yes. And also, while we're there, we also need to grab the web.config. This is actually an important file. You'll open up, you'll go, this almost is meaningless, but it's actually important. It allows Azure to know it's supposed to be a Node.js server.
Mm-hmm.
You need that, otherwise it's just matters horribly on you. Sometimes it will be actually generated for you automatically, depending on how you set it up, but safest bet is just to drop it in.
Yeah, and to double check to make sure it's got what you need in it.
Yeah. I'll let that do all its...
So we're just pushing that up now?
Yeah, we're just pushing everything up. All right. So once all that's all set up and all that, there, your back-end server is set up. We can now talk to Azure. Now we have to go and make it matter.
Yeah, connect everything.
Put it into your game project, whatever that may be.
Okay.
We've been kind of vague and light with exactly what's going on here, and that's just because we had a lot of setup. So we wanted to power through that and then get onto that. So the way Azure sets everything up, you have your account, okay? You know, Mickey, right? Then you have... Actually, no, I'm going to use a different analogy. So you're a computer. So you have your computer, you have containers, which are effectively are folders, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your blobs, which are files. That's actually the best analogy for it.
That makes sense.
That's exactly
what's
going on.
Pretty easy way to explain it.
Yeah. Okay? So we made our storage account.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just missing our containers and our blobs, okay? Now with all this, containers can have as many things as you want in there.
Mm-hmm. We can have multiple blobs per container, and you can have multiple containers per account.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so knowing that, we can kind of step into this and we can lift the veil a little bit. So once our server's set up, then you can actually open up your game. You can add the reference to our Azure Ghost Replay.js script. I know, I'm great at naming things. and that actually is just, like I say, the wrapper. Mm-hmm. That wraps up all that Node.js stuff, handles those calls. We add reference to Socket.io, which now this is why we have it. Socket.io, it's set up, it uses WebSockets, which basically means it's a bi-directional communication protocol, right? So, you know, if I'm the client, he's the server, I go, hey, server, guy jumped. You go, okay, cool. And then he can say, hey, I got that. Or I can go, hey, server, when did he jump? And the server will send back that data. Versus others where it's just, hey, there's data, and that's it. There's not really a communication necessarily, right?
Yeah, the data flows both ways, not just one way.
Yeah, exactly. And then once we do that, we initialize the service, and then we can do all the reading and writing and all the fun times, basically, right? Now that brings to the next thing with Socket. The way it's set up, it's all event-driven.
Yeah.
I bring this up because you have to think slightly differently when you are coding and when you're getting data from Azure. It's not as simple as, hey, Azure, get me a data, and it just returns it for you. It's not all that one line. Because it's event-driven, you know, you go, hey, Azure, I need this data. Azure goes, okay, cool, give me a second. And based on the user's, you know, internet connection, their bandwidth, you know, all those sort of things, or if maybe something else is going on, you know, it might be slow. So what ends up happening is sometimes, you know, you have to think a little bit differently and go, okay, this isn't going to be here right away, and it will come back, okay? And the way we do that is on the client side, you have event listeners, okay? That listen all the events for the Azure, so all the reading, the writing, all that have different event names, and you can attach to it.
A lot of us have probably experienced this through input.
Yes.
Right? Like a key press is an event-driven system. Another good one would be Unity developers out there. Everything is an event.
Yeah.
An update is an event. You know, pretty much everything you can think of on enter, on start, those are all events that
they're
being fired off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it's a very common thing.
It's a very common thing.
It just doesn't show itself in this manner all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. I point it out because you have to code things. Like I say, it's not as simple as, hey, give me something and it returns it right.
Yeah,
right?
It goes back to the thing, like, you know, when app developers always talk to me about building games.
Yeah.
They ask me, like, what's the biggest challenge? And I said, the loop.
Yes.
Because you're working in a loop, right?
Yeah.
And in this situation, you have events being fired off during the loop. So it takes extra a little bit of
time, right?
Yeah, to kind of tweak that in your mind to understand how everything's kind of being laid out.
Yeah, and we'll show kind of how you have to think about that, right? So this is just the setup stuff. You open up your index.html, and then, you know, within your body tag, you add two references. First one is to our Azure Ghost Replay.js, wherever that is. You know, if it's just right beside you, you've done it before. Yeah. You know how to do this. The other one is a reference to socket.io. What we do with that is we actually use socket.io's CDN, which they have on their site,
content delivery network.
And you can grab that right off their site just in case they update it and this is old, right?
Yeah. So I tend to try to do that with any library that I'm using, if I can, just that way it keeps me current. Yeah. You have to also be careful, though, when you're doing that, that if something that they put out may break your code. So it's a catch-22. Make sure that you're doing it in the right situations.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So then, within your code, setting it up actually is not that difficult. You just, you know, you make your object and you make a new Azure Ghost Replay is what it's called.
Yeah. So and the object that your library is, you're going to call this object, and it takes a couple of arguments.
Yes.
And the arguments are?
The first one is the address for your server. Okay, so in our case, it was Azure demo project.azurewebsites.net.
Yeah, I think it's usually .azurewebsites.net, whatever you named it.
Whatever it is, right? Yeah. The next thing is you can put an ID, which now this what it actually does, or you can leave it blank, up to you. All this is just the name for the container that we're going to create on the back end for Azure, okay? And in the back end, behind the scenes and all that, this will just initialize the connection, and it'll sit around and wait for you to be like, hey, send, receive, all that kind of jazz, right?
It allows us to identify it, too, if we need to in other lines of code, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so this here is just that basic initialization, right? Actually, this is just connecting it all and whatnot. And then right here, it just sets it up and just to show you what you're supposed to do. So we go back to our portal.azure and all that, and we actually just grab our website, which is right here. Hit copy that over. You go back, you open it up, and you set that up, and we are all ready to go.
Yeah.
And if I want, I can go, hey, you know, I'm going to put John Smith. Now, I almost made a mistake there. When you're naming things with Azure, there are certain restrictions on the name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No capitals.
Okay.
No underscores.
Okay.
And you're limited to, I believe, 254 characters or something like that.
Chances are that will never happen, but... The underscore things, because as developers, a lot of times when I'm naming variables, I put an underscore if it's local, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to kind of remember that.
Or
in the capitals one. That's another one.
I've several times while working on this, I've done capitals and gone, why is it not working? I'm like, you idiot. Capitals, right? Like I just did. So anyway, so we'll just call it John Smith, and we will go, and we will actually. So we open it up, and this is just a basic initialization. And we open it up, and I'm just going to open up my console because normally it'll print something out.
Yeah, notice it's kind of blank. I think we hit an error, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's not defined. That's weird. But, all it is we foolishly put the script before the body.
Oh, so you're calling something in the script before the script's been defined, so it obviously doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Very simple fix. We just move it below it, and all done.
All right. So, remember we named it John Smith, okay? Give this a moment. And we'll let it, you know, connect to the server. And then we'll run over to our storage account, go to our containers, and see what happened.
Okay.
See if everything magically worked. All right, so we see connected to the server, which means, now granted, there was a little bit of delay sometimes, networking and whatnot. So we go to our storage account, we hit containers, okay? And then if you look over, you see container John Smith.
We know it worked.
Boom, it done. It worked, and we can click on that. And if there were blobs in there.
They would exist. We don't have anything,
so we haven't done anything. And it gives you all the URL and a whole bunch of other cool little things, all right? So that's pretty nifty. So that's just the basic bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
Done. It is set up, okay? So that brings us to the actual important meat and potatoes part of this.
Yeah, so we've got the container set up. We're able to pass data through.
Yep.
Now we want to read the data back, right?
Read and write, right? Now, set up this... There's two ways of reading and writing the data, okay? You can just... Actually, I'll get to that in a second. sorry, reading specifically, there's two ways to read the data. You can either just go, hey, Azure, give me the entire blob, okay? And I'll just pass it back to you as a string.
Might not be the best bet over the
network. Might not be always the best bet. If you have a giant one, that might not be so good, right? Mm-hmm. The other way is you can do and read segments, where you go, hey, Azure, I want to read this blob, but I only want these three sections. And the way you define these sections is you set up your own delimiter. I chose to make it so you could set up. I was thinking, okay, I could just do a hashtag, but I'm like, what if they're using a hashtag? What if you're using a
hashtag?
What
if somewhere in there, the data's got a hashtag?
They're using a hashtag to mark something, right? So I went, okay, you can set that up yourself, and that's how
it will. It's a good foresight there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I was making this, I kind of went, you know what? I want to make this very basic and simple. You know, make it so you can send, you can read, all that. I don't care what you do with your data or how you use it, right? Mm. And that's how it all gets separated. You can tell it where to start, how far to go, the range, all that, and you'll send you.
Yeah, it's
all
an important
back.
Step. You want to be able to pull down just the pieces that you want.
Yeah, exactly. And then, writing, there's two ways as well. You can write to a complete new blob. Nice, simple, clean. However, thing with locked blobs is there's a security thing that Microsoft was, you know, smart enough to put in. You can't edit them when they're already on there so much. Now, you can, page blobs you can, but we're not using page blobs.
Well, because they're structured.
Because they're structured.
Yeah, it's easier to make that modification. Yeah.
Now, with block blobs, you can put more data into it before you commit it completely. Mm-hmm. I chose not to do that for simplicity's sake. Judge me if you want. but for simplicity's sake, I went, you know what? We're just going to shove it all up. You're done. If you think you're done, you're done. So what I did is I made it so you have a buffer. Okay. Which basically just sits on the server, and what you do is you just go, hey, server, and I want just you to keep this data for me until I'm ready to send it up. And it, you know, does all its back-end stuff. You know, it stores it based on who you are and all that jazz. But that allows you to send an entire game session worth of data.
And typically you're going to want those sessions separated from blob to blob anyway, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah, exactly, right.
So it kind of fits in this.
It fits it. Or if you want to store different pieces of data. Like the example we show later, we have, you know, I store several things like ME positions or like jumping. Well, I went, you know what, I want this stuff separate, mm-hmm. right? It's a great way to separate things like that, right? Now, besides the input-output kind of things, you can do other things. Like you can clear all the user saves, okay? You could delete an entire user, which just deletes the container, mm-hmm. okay? And now with the Ghost Replay system, users are represented as containers.
Okay,
I
was going to say, I didn't catch
that
part.
I did not mention that. My apologies. Yeah. They are represented as containers and game sessions.
Okay, so every person that logs in, as soon as they log in, a new container is created for them.
Yeah.
And then you're going to use that to find out what exactly session was theirs.
Yes. Okay. And a session is a blob.
Okay.
Or a series of blobs, depending on how you set it up. So besides input-output, you can get rid of a user, you can clear all the user saves, which just, mm-hmm. it just goes through and just goes, hey, what's all the blobs in this container, and deletes it, just because that's currently the only way you can do it with Azure. I think I heard there was talk of them making just, you know, a one-hit wonder or a call.
I like how you refer to it there, the one-hit wonder. Yes, right now, basically, you have to step through and pretty much wipe it all out. But what you're hoping is in the near future that they'll have a situation where you could just remove a section of the blob. It goes back to the difference between page and block, right? You have no structure, so it's hard to find.
It's hard to get at all.
Yeah.
Now, because this all involves deleting, just so no accidents happen, you do actually have to make a call and go, hey, allow deletion.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, I'm going to do this as a safety thing.
Safety sake,
Just in case you have a group of people and, you know, someone accidentally does it, right? Or on purpose, whatever, right? Which brings us to our next fun little demo of just...
It's the hello world for hello Azure.
Exactly, it's great. Ooh, that was not what I wanted. That was more fun times later on. So, this also brings up other things that we were discussing earlier, but now you can actually see it, okay? And just to make our life a little bit easier, I'm just going to actually go into that same one we had before.
Yeah.
I'm going to call, you know, John Smith, do all that. And we are going to flip this around so we don't have another oops and whatnot. And that is actually a very cool feature of VS Code. You can just right-click, hit format code and fixes all your tasks.
Yeah, I love that. Just,
I'm not going to lie. I love that, especially if you're working with JavaScript, because it, it gets a little hairy sometimes.
Yeah, it gets a little, weird.
And so, okay, so I'm just going to actually walk through this code, because there is a fair bit going on here.
Sure.
And I did that on purpose, because I wanted to show off all the little things, okay? So the way it works, you initialize it when we do, you know, the new Azure. New Azure Ghost Replay, okay? So that goes, hey, Azure, we have a new person. If there's not already a container with this name, let's make one, right? And it kicks back an event that just goes, hey, I connected. And on the client side, so in here, it goes, okay, sweet, I have connected. And it does some things. It sends some data to the server, and it sets some things up. When that is done, because we're not truly, we are connected, but we can't actually do anything at that point.
Okay.
Once that step is done, the client, not client, sorry, the server will kick back an event saying, hey, you know what? Everyone's good. We have everything set up here. You have everything set up there. We're all happy. You can start talking to
them. It's the benefit of the event handling system.
Exactly. No, exactly. And we got this. So what we did is, what I did is I set up a custom event called Azure Init, okay, that you can listen to. And right here, I'm just doing a simple document dot add event listener, Azure Init, and putting in a callback. Nice and
so if the Azure Init fires off, it's going to call that function that you've basically inlined inside of that call.
Perfect. And I did this just so we don't get those awkward moments of, hey, let's write to Azure. Oh, wait, we are not quite connected, and then everything breaks. I mean, you can handle that, but you can lose data. And it's just, it can be a little messy, right? So we do that.
It's a clean way of handling
it. It's a clean way of handling it. Okay, so we go that, and then we go, hey, set our current session to hello world. And what that does is it sets up a blob with the name of Hello World, okay? Now, fun thing, you don't have to worry about the capitals and whatnot with blobs. It's only containers.
Okay, so the blob itself can be have capitals. We're not sure about the underscore.
No.
But it can have capitals.
Yes.
It's just the actual container name itself can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we set the current session, okay? That's nice and simple setup. Then... Now, there's several of these functions. We have I have a bunch of documentation on this. So we go, hey, let's write to our current session.
I'm going to mention, too, since we're talking about it, all the code that you're showing here and then your actual library, the Ghost Replay system, is completely open source.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to be available on my GitHub.
On your GitHub,
At scruffyfern slash Azure Ghost Replay.
Jinx. and there's a whole bunch of documentation with examples, and they're actually full examples with initialization.
Beautiful.
That. Just because I hate it when I'm looking through documentation and it goes, yeah, do this. And you're like, okay, do I need to do anything else? But anyway, so I'm using write to current session. It's very simple. You can also write to a specific one. And so the first thing I pass in is what I want to say, which is in this case is hello Azure. Because hello Azure. Now the next thing is a callback. Now this is where we get into the event system thing. Okay, it's all event listener. So that callback, that function will be called when a specific event is fired. Okay, in this case, it is called a file data event.
Okay,
this pertains to any files or whatnot, right? Oh wait, actually, I skipped ahead. Sorry, let's back up a little. Yeah, so write to current session. Sorry, my apologies.
So basically what I'm getting from here is the write to current session.
Sorry.
Once it finishes, it's going to fire off its callback.
Yes, yes. And actually, my apologies, everyone. I looked at the wrong line. My apologies. You can all tweet me and yell at me. Feel free. Sorry.
We should flash your Twitter handle up on
screen right now. Yeah, or like right here or something. So anyways, my apologies. Write to current session will actually fire write blob event. Now, what this is it's just on the back end, which I'll show later on, when it sends a message back to the client, it puts this. Just because the fun thing with events and event handling is you don't know the order that you're going to get these events back.
Yeah.
One thing could be like that, or a thing could take a couple minutes or whatnot, right? So if you just throw in a random event listener, you may not get the right thing. Okay, so I've set this up in order to flag it correctly, so it sends it to the right function and all that.
So we know we want to look for a specific event, and we're listening for that specific event, as opposed to just listening for an event.
An event.
Yes.
Okay, and there's another thing. Speaking on that, you notice here my inline function. I actually named it. Now the reason for that is because it's an event listener we're adding onto the socket, we, if you see down here, I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it's just...
No, it makes sense. It's coming up. I'm following along.
It's just because it's coming up. We actually want to remove that event listener from the socket. Because otherwise what happens is this function will always be called forever and ever and ever. Every single time you ever do an event on the socket, that's a write blob, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which may not be an issue. There are times with reading where you might want to do that.
But there are more or less times that you don't want to do that.
You know what I mean? But anyway, so we write to it. We do Hello Azure. So
you're putting an extra layer of check in there just to make sure that
basically,
I'm not... So when I'm done with this event listener, hey, remove that event listener. Yes. I'll add it again when I need it.
Yes, exactly, precisely. So anyway, so we once that's done, the server kicks back a thing, goes, hey, I worked, I didn't work, and that is actually in this data variable that we have. It kicks back a bunch of things. It kicks back an error response, all that kind of stuff. If there's no error, we know, hey, it worked. So we read from it. Okay, and I'm being lazy. I just read raw. Because we just know it says Hello Azure.
In this case, it doesn't really matter.
And then we print it to the console. Okay? And once we're done, we remove the reading function. And then when that's done, we're actually done. And we remove the writing function. And this is where I was referring to earlier. You have to think slightly differently because you don't know the order. Right? So in this case, I wrote to it, waited until that was done, and then I tried to read from it. So you kind of get this nesting kind of
thing. Yeah,
right?
it cascades.
Cascades, yes. I have it open all up here. I'll hit refresh. Let it do its thing. And we'll just check out and look at that. It printed out to Azure. Everything was all good. All right. So then after all that, let me just open that back up. So yeah, so it prints it out. If there was an error, it would have printed out the error. And then after that, we just find and remove this specific function. And it, because it's a file data, it's information. We call it file data. And we just tell that is the event it needs to look for. It finds that. It wipes this out. We're done. We can carry on with our lives pretty much. So next thing is, let's see it in action.
We've kind of talked about it, but we've never actually seen it in a real game. So let's take a look at it in an actual real game, right?
So this is an actual real game that you can actually go and play. If you want or not, it's up to you. We'll throw the link down somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
So, nice, simple little game. Basically, you're a little French mouse, or not French mouse, well, French piece of cheese, and you just avoid platforms and stuff. It's an endless runner, right? I'll let you see this before.
I built this game, so that's kind of why I know a little bit about it. Basically, it's just an endless runner with procedural driven platforms that get progressively harder as you play.
Yep.
And you got some evil bad guys in there, some mice and rats and stuff that try to stop you. Yeah.
So
and there's a rat right there.
And there's a rat. All right. So as you can see on the bomb, it was loading some stuff. That's just so you know it hasn't.
A little bit of debugness. Yeah.
Debugness and whatnot. Anyway, so if I hit yes, all right, hang on. I should probably, hands up.
Well, we can see he's flashing, so we know he's a replay right away.
Well, this could be faked, right?
Yeah,
I guess. You know, cooked dinner, right?
But the website's up there, so they can play it on
their own.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, right?
No, I remember the first time I got this actually working, I just went, wow, that's cool. And then I think I called you,
and I was like,
look at this, and you're like, that's really cool, man.
Yeah, and see what one of the tricks was. It's procedural driven, so you had to upload the space of every platform, every mouse, every rat, every jump.
Yep.
So you ended up having a lot more data than say something that was just you knew the outcome.
Exactly.
Right. So if you had a game where it was a platform, let's take Mario for instance.
Mario. Yeah.
All the levels are pre-generated, so you kind of know.
You know that.
You know what's going to happen, right? So all you really need to do in that case is record his jumps and his pickups.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, anything that's Mario-esque. But in this case, we had a little bit more to go. So it was really neat to see that working. Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you're setting this up, you have to break down your game and go, what do I really need? Because, I mean, you could just go nuts and just everyone's position at all times, except then it'll be like a gig you're trying to push up. And
it's way too much, right?
So you have to think. And like I said, it's events, event-driven, right? So if you're already thinking of that for just coding it, think of that for the game, too. Like, he's jumping or... and enemies being taken off screen and regenerated or whatnot, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
That's about it.
Well, segueing into the wrap-up part, there's a couple questions I had for you.
Yeah, go.
So one I'm just thinking to myself is, we've been talking about this, and in previous videos we'd also mentioned the fact that, you know, you're on a network and you have this issue of pushing up bandwidth.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we could do on this example, and also we had a previous example that talked about analytics, is you could condense the data.
Yes.
Using a compression algorithm out there. So, you know, like we are all fans of the MP4s, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, that was the hot thing. And that's a compression of data, right? So you take something that's, you know, a very, very big file, say a movie file, for instance, and you convert that down. You compress that, right? MP3s, MP4s, whatever it might be. So you could take this example and add a compression algorithm to minimize the amount of data being passed around, right? That's one thing you could do. Another big thing that I was thinking is branching this out to other genres, right?
Yes.
Like, we mentioned, you know, the platformers and the stuff like that. But you're actually storing data that can be then replayed. So you could say, you know, a game that I've been playing a lot lately is Rocket League.
Okay.
So if you wanted to have the replays of, say, the level of Rocket League, all you would have to do is track all the players and where they're moving.
Yeah.
And then you could literally just play it back.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have, like, a DVR, a recording type system already built in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more
than...
And just the Ghost replay here, right?
And I kept that in mind when I was making it. I kept writing things, and I kept going, okay, what should I do? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I got to a point, I'm like, okay, hands off.
Yeah.
I went, okay.
You don't want to make it too specific.
Exactly. I'm like, you can read your data, you can write your data. I don't care what you do with your data, how you handle what
you
do with it.
Well, you could use this to do analytics.
And you could do it with analytics.
Right?
You could,
you're basically just storing data.
Yeah,
so
no,
any data you want, right? And being able to pull it back down.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Really awesome that it's open source.
Yes. Go take a look at it. Rip it apart. Tell me I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Fix it all. I will swallow my pride and I will go, okay, you did
be
it
humble.
Better. I will be humbled and I have no issue with that.
Yeah. So feel free to put any pull requests in there if you see something that you think it should be added, issues and stuff. Make sure you push those up to us as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Thank you everybody for tuning in. I had a lot of fun, learned a lot. You know, I'm going to implement this in some of the games that I'm working on already.
Yeah,
very cool. Thank you, Will, for coming out.
Not a problem. It's fun.
And make sure you keep tuned in for some more cool content. Thank you very much and happy coding.
Take